All right, let's go to Judges chapter 7, please. We're going to complete our series this morning on Gideon. Judges chapter 7, and this is Gideon part 6. Gideon part 6, and we call this contagious victory. Say that with me, contagious victory. How many like living in victory? I said again, there was about three of you. I said, how many like living in victory? So let's learn a little bit more about how to have contagious victory. Not just victory for ourselves, but victory that spreads through our friends and our families, and the victory of the presence of God that spreads through our life and unto others. We've seen Israel turn from God as we've done our lessons on Gideon. We've been in, the last many weeks. We've seen Israel turn from God. And when they turned from God, they were overrun by marauding enemies who swarmed in like locusts year after year for 7 years in a row. They ate Israel's crops. They destroyed Israel's livestock. They overran the nation. The Bible tells us sin separates you from God. How many know there's a lot of people hurting in America today? Now, not everything is the judgment of God, but I think we'd be hard-pressed as Christians to not want to come to a place of repentance so that the hand of judgment can be removed from America. We see one dealing after another, dealing after another. Church, we need to wake up and be on our knees in prayer, don't we? God have mercy on America. So they were overrun because of their sin against God. Then God heard their cry. After 7 years, God heard their cry. He started working with Gideon, and he called him as an angel came on the scene. He said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Did Gideon feel like a mighty man of valor?
No.
And then the angel says, go in this your might. Did Gideon feel like he was full of might?
No.
God doesn't destroy Gideon after he prepares an offering for the angel and for the Lord. But he accepts that offering, and so he's accepting toward Gideon. And then God begins to work with Gideon like he does with us, to change our images and our beliefs. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the Lord needs to change our thinking. We have the mind of Christ, but we need to have our mind changed to think like he thinks, to act like he acts, and to be like he is. How many think you could use a little more change in your life to be a little more like Jesus? Sure. So he begins working with Gideon, and then he answers Gideon's prayer that he prayed about and with a fleece. And over again, he's showing Gideon that he's with him, and he finds Emmanuel. And then God takes Gideon's 32,000 coming up against 150,000 enemy soldiers, and he whittles them down. He says, those of you who are afraid, go home. Remember how many went home? 22,000 folks. I think Gideon probably was in a little panic himself at that moment. I would be. Yeah. And then he takes him down to give water and have him drink water. And God says, there's still too many here, Gideon. And so he's going to observe how they drink. Do they bow down on all fours, forget everything else around them, and just suck up the water? Or do they lap up the water, putting it in their hands and licking it with their tongue? Because those are the people who were always on duty. And there were how many of those who did it that way? 300. 300. And God said, those are the army you're going to go into battle with, not the rest. And he sent everybody else home. God changes Gideon's images and his beliefs about himself. I'm smallest. I'm the least from the smallest tribe of Israel. And God begins to put a belief in him that you can be what God's called you to be. Turn to each other and say, you can be what God's called you to be. You can do what God's called you to do. So then Gideon goes forward and he cuts down the idol grove. You remember? There was a grove of trees in his father's field. It was in his dad's field. And God says, I want you to get rid of that. You've got to deal with the sin if you're going to take people anywhere into victory. Right? Got to deal with the sin in your own life. So he cuts down the grove of trees at night so nobody sees him. And the people get all upset at Gideon. They say, we're going to kill him. And we watch his dad, Gideon's dad, come back to faith as he defends Gideon and Jehovah. And he says, listen, Baal didn't defend himself. Why are you trying to do so? So God gets Gideon through one thing after another. How many of you understand? The Lord takes us with one successful completed dealing through another successful completed dealing, through another successful completed dealing. He doesn't look at you as an infant and says, I want you to deliver the nation, but he takes us on and works with us and grows us in faith. So when the bigger calling comes, we have a history of having walked with God and seen how he works with us and helps us. Anybody experience that in your own life? Sure. And now we're going to see all this wrap up. If you'll take your scriptures and go to Judges chapter 7, verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 9. I'll have them on the overheads as well. Number one, the calling. The calling for contagious victory. You got to know what God has called you to do. And I want you to watch the tenses of the verbs that God uses in this verse. Judges 7, verse 9. It happened on the same night. Now, Gideon's been through so many things. He's changed his mind. He's changed his beliefs. He's experienced the victory of the Lord. Now, God says, okay, it's time. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp. Remember, the issue is delivering Israel from the marauding Arabian people who had come against them, the Midianites who were, and the Moabites, rather, who were just, the Midianites, who were just treating them terribly. Now watch the verse. What does it say? For I'm sorry. What does it say? He said, I want you to go down to the camp because I have delivered. Past tense. I've done something, God says, and I want you to cooperate with me in bringing the provision to pass. How many know we've got a lot of promises in God? Come on, do you have some promises in God? God's going to do some things for you. How many know your life doesn't always match up to your promise? So we got to get the provision to match up to the promise so we can live it in the present, right? Do these tongue twisters real fast. I'm not sure I can say it again. But you know, you got the provision, you got the promise, you got the present. So we're going to get them all working together. And God says, I've already done it. I've delivered them into your hand. The Lord has invested so much into Gideon now. He's changed his thoughts, his images and beliefs. He's proved himself over and over and over again. And he's got Gideon understanding. Gideon, you can pass this test. The Lord only allows you to go through tests in your life to prove to you that you can pass them. Now, I want to ask for honest. I'm not going to ask you for your story. But I want to see the show of hands. How many in this room are going through any tests in the Lord? Maybe I should ask it the other way around. How many are not going through any tests right now? Raise your hand and ask God to give you one. It helps you grow. All right? God wants you to know he wouldn't allow that in your life if he wasn't going to walk through that experience with you and at the very least make you more like himself as you walk through it. The purpose behind all of this in the first place. Now's your time, Gideon. Now's your calling. Now's your purpose. I have delivered it. It's a done deal. God plus one is a majority. Amen. Come on and say, God plus one is a majority. How we need to remember that God's word is true. No more doubt, no more fear. Now God is saying, Gideon, I want you to go do what I promised that you can do. It doesn't matter how many enemy soldiers are around you. It doesn't matter how big you think the attack is against you. Jesus is bigger. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus is
bigger than all my
problems. Come on, bowl me over with it. Jesus is
bigger
than all my promises or all my failures, all the mountains. He's bigger. He's the one who made the promises. So he's big enough, bigger than all my problems. And when we see God in that way, it becomes a victory inside of our spirit and a victorious song, a victorious declaration, if you will. And it's contagious. Other people around you begin to believe in your victory as well. The work is done. How many know the work for what we need in our lives was done and accomplished at Calvary? Come on, the work was done. Healing was done. I've spoken to my brother a couple of times about it. Healing was provided at Calvary. Okay, so my symptoms need to flee in the name of the Lord. My body needs to line up in Jesus' name.
Yes.
But the provision's there. Okay. It's a done deal in God. What has God put into your heart to do? To what has he called you? He's big enough to accomplish it. By the way, the message is bigger than the man. So God had to stretch the man to bear the message. The calling was bigger than Gideon knew he could do. And God put him through situation after situation to stretch him, to show him that he can. Women, when you became pregnant, yes, and some of you did, I know. When you became pregnant, you had to stretch to bear the message or the man or the woman. There was stretching that took place in your life to be able to bear the fruit that God wanted you to bear. So too in our lives. The message is bigger than the man, and God will stretch the man in order to carry the message. Number two. So first is the calling. Number two is the courage. The courage for contagious and victorious worship. Read verses 10 through 15 with me. And we'll just do a couple here at a time. But if you are afraid to go down, all right, he's dealing with reality. He knows who we are. He's still got Gideon to work with. So if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Once again, Jesus knows who Gideon is, but if you are afraid, fear can stop you in your tracks. You know that's true. Fear can stop you in your tracks. Fear can put a door where God intends a window. Fear can cause you to say no when God wants you to say yes. Fear killed an entire generation of Israelites out of the wilderness when God said, go. 10 spies said, no. Fear can kill the promise and provision. So church, as a church, we want to walk in contagious victory. Turn to each other. Shake somebody in the arm and say, I want to give you some contagious victory. Courage. Courage. I feel like the lion in the Wizard of Oz. You got to have courage. Courage comes from believers. From believers. But God looks at us and works with us where we are. So, Gideon then basically admits by what he does that, yeah, I'm pretty terrified. So, the next verse, then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Look at this, verse 12. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. How many know victory doesn't come just by numbers? It's not a numbers game with God. Contagious victory comes when people know that Jesus is Lord and that God is in charge and that God plus one is a majority. Next verse. When Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream. Just timing of the Lord, I love it. Telling a dream to his companion, he said, I had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered, I love this. You know, you can imagine the guy sitting there going, tell me your dream. What was in your dream? What happened? And without a skipping of a beat, he goes, that's Gideon. Now, how did he know a barley loaf of bread falling through the wilderness running into a tent with Gideon? The Lord knows how to do things, doesn't he? And it doesn't matter how big, how many demons of hell want to come against you as you walk in faith. Jesus Christ lives inside of you, and you are a victorious man and woman of God, soldier of God, birthed and bearing His armor in His army. Who are you? Oh, Kev, I'm a soldier of the Lord and I've got contagious victory. You want some? How many are feeling contagious here this morning? I'm feeling downright contagious. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Gideon's been there, not big enough, not smart enough, not rich enough, not good looking enough. None of that matters because God is enough. Say it with me. God is enough. It came to my tent and struck it, so it fell and overturned. The tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, say it with me, please. This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Pretty fantastic, don't you think? Watch. Verse 15. And it was, so it was, when Gideon heard, when Gideon heard, when you hear the living Word of God, the Rhema breathed, the anointed Word of God, when you hear it, something happens in your spirit, something rises up and you say, I can believe God. God is big enough and I can do what He's called me to do. Come on, church, say it with me. I can do what He's called me to do. You believe it? Are you contagious? Are you contagious?
Yeah.
All right, spiritually contagious. Is that better? Are you spiritually contagious? I know some of you looking at me going, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that out loud. I'm contagious. All right, I'm spiritually contagious. What did you learn about a church? I learned that everybody in the room was contagious. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He believed God, and he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel. And can you imagine what's going on in his heart now? Come on, guys, get up! Arise! God is with us! Isn't that what we're saying at church every Sunday?
Yes.
Isn't that what believers should do to encourage one another? Come on, gang, arise. God is with us and God is in us of truth. He's in our midst. Let's do the will of God. Let's accomplish the will of God. Let's bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Doesn't matter how many demons in hell want to say no. God says go and we've got the provision to do it. Amen?
Amen.
He returned to the camp of Israel, said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. That, in the Hebrew, the word he heard, the word, literally means he heard it with deep intelligence and it went deeply into his soul. And he understood God had equipped him to do his will. Gideon fell down. When it says he worshipped, in the Hebrew that means he fell down before the Lord, he prostrated himself, and without fear, he worshipped God. It affected his tone. It affected his words. It affected his confidence. It affected his faith. It affected his expectancy. And then Gideon went and he shared the calling and the courage for contagious victory. He's got the calling. He's got the courage. Now, number three, he's got the conduct, the battle plan, if you will. The conduct for contagious victory and victorious strategy, verse 16 through 22. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, you shall blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say it with me, please, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried out, say it with me please, cry it out loud, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. The whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerera, as far as the border of Abba Maholah by Tabath. Trumpets! Trumpets! The word of the Lord as the trumpets being declared. In the scriptures, trumpets refer to the word of the Lord. Each life gives forth a sound. What's the sound? What's the trumpet call from your life? The Bible says, if you don't have a certain sound, how can someone follow you? When you understand God is with you, when you know you've got the mind of Christ, when you know you're clean by the blood of Jesus, when you know you're an army or in the army of God and you're a soldier, a man or woman of God and a woman of faith, that you belong to Him, there's a certain sound that comes from your life and the trumpet of the word of the Lord can go forth and it resonates with integrity. How many times do you hear nowadays people accusing the body of Christ because, well, they're just a bunch of hypocrites? Well, church, it's time for us no longer to be hypocrites then. Repent of any hypocrisy. Put away the sin that easily besets, the Bible says. And let us go out and declare the word of the Lord with integrity in our lives. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and worth following. Amen?
Amen.
Trumpets. Contagious victory. Declaring the word of the Lord. Preach and trumpet the word of God. How many places are you from in this room? Fort Townsend? Fort Lauderdale? Where else? Where else?
Carlsberg?
Squim? Paulsbo? Cape George? Kingston? Quilsey? Aren't you... What is that? Reno! Portland! Sudan? Mexico! And her man's up in Alaska! All right, I want you to stay with me. My name is? Your name, Kevin. My name is?
Kevin.
No, come on. Stay with me. My name is? And I trumpet the word of the Lord. In, say your community. The Olympic Peninsula. What has God called us to do? Not to hide our light under a bushel. Gideon was down in the wine press, and God said, it's time, buddy, to lift you up from the tiny image into the faith, expectancy, and the belief that I can have victory in this land. Let's get you from down in the mully grubs up onto the hilltop where the light can be seen. Amen?
Amen?
Trumpet the word of God in your community. Declare the word of God in your community. Bring forth the word as the trumpet, and let God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. All right? So trumpets declaring the word of the Lord. How about pitchers? What are pitchers? They're clay vessels. What does that refer to? Wood and humanity and clay vessels refer to people in the scriptures and humanity. And humanity needs to be broken in order to let the torch and the fire of God shine out. How many are filled with the fire of God? How many have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Okay, Pastor Kevin, I'm filled with the fire of God. I got a match, okay? All right, you're filled with the fire of God. The torch of the Lord is inside of you. But this clay vessel sometimes hinders the light. And when the night comes around and the darkness is darkest, God says you need to trust that the word of the Lord is good and pure, and you need to allow your spirit and your humanity to be broken and let the light of God come out to shine and change this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine in the Olympic Peninsula. Shine in Port Ludlow. Shine in Port Hadlock. Shine in Chimicum. Shine in Port Townsend. Shine all the places that we've mentioned. Oh, God, shine. But it's going to take a soldier in the army of God who's willing to voluntarily break the clay vessel. Gideon said, watch what I do. Do what I do. There could have been 250 of those soldiers said, no, I don't want to break the clay vessel. There already was 29,300 of those. But 300 of them said, no. I'm going to allow the Lord to work with me, break this clay vessel, so the light can shine out with purity, so the trumpet can come out beautifully, so the fire of God inside your humanity can shine out to a needy, dark world. The torches, the fire of God burning in the pitchers, God's Holy Spirit burning inside. We're here to shine the light. Church, up to this point in this story, the enemies, the marauding bands had overrun the land. They filled Israel with fear. They were living in caves. They were hiding out. And how many Christians, in light of even what happened in our nation this week, hide in fear and saying, the devil is overrunning the land, when in reality, God's looking for some people to stand up and say, Jesus is King, and we declare His name throughout this land. And we're going to shine the light throughout a dark place, because when the darkness gets darker, the light shines brighter. Amen. Let's shine the light.
Yes, amen.
Turn to each other and say, shine the light, brother and sister. When you feel surrounded, it's time to shine it even brighter. Up to this point, darkness enveloped them in fear. And at the point where he said it's time, break the pitchers, shine the light, blow the trumpets, declare the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Declare the sword of the Lord and Kevin and Elaine. Come on, lift up your Bible. Put your name in it. Declare the sword of the Lord and Kevin. Declare the sword of the Lord and... Yeah. How many believe you can do it?
Yes.
Truth is in the power of God. Jesus is in His people. And we need to quit being ashamed about it. And we need to quit hiding our lights. And we need to quit walking in fear, wondering what's going to happen next. Guess what? Things are going to keep happening. The Scripture says it will. But when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And people need the truth of Jesus, the sword of the Lord, and of Gideon, and of you, more than ever before. All right, so we've had all three of these points. Let's come to a close. Number four, the conquest, the completion. You had the calling, you had the courage, you had the conduct. Now you have the conquest. Let's watch it in the Scriptures, and I'm going to finish with a few points. Give me five more minutes. Judges 7, verses 23 through 25. The men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, seize them from the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan. They captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the Rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. It sounds like he should be back in the Appalachians. Don't you know they got Zeb finally? They finally got Zeb. Anyway, to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. The victory is contagious. The victory is contagious because what you see in these Scriptures is other people start joining in. Hey, maybe this was the 23,700 soldiers who went home in fear and who didn't drink right from the water. But all of a sudden, victory's breaking out in the camp. And people love to be a part of something victorious. Nothing breeds success like...
victory.
Yeah, victory or success, the sentence is. Victory. Birthed in right images and beliefs. Seeing God move. Knowing that Emmanuel is here, knowing that He's with you, being led by the Spirit and declaring and trumpeting the Word of God and seeing people get delivered. Contagious victory is spread by worship in the midst of the storm. An attitude that keeps going when it's difficult. And courage that believes God anyway. Now, we do need to understand, as a sold-out Christian, understand. People like to join in on success, but they might leave at the next test. Jesus had crowds that surrounded Him, and when the time got tough, a lot of the timid got going. At the garden, everyone fled. After He rose, and after the day of Pentecost, crowds came back. And after the disciples and apostles were threatened and beaten and persecuted, and they worshipped a risen Savior anyway, multitudes came in and they added to the church daily. But not everybody is always thrilled with success. Let's come to a close. Judges 8, 1 through 4. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, "Why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? Their whole country has now been delivered and they're ticked." They're upset. "Why have you done this?" They reprimanded him sharply. Church, the point is this. As a leader, as a congregation of life-filled believers who want to help declare the word of the Lord in these communities, we need to understand we're called to bear the responsibility, share the successes in the body of Christ, and give God all the glory. Give God all the glory. They reprimanded him. "What have I done now in comparison with you?" Gideon said. "Is not this the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. What was I able to do in comparison with this?" What a wise leader Gideon was. Share the success. You played a bigger role than I ever thought of playing. And he gave the glory to God. He didn't care who got the glory. It belonged to God. Listen, I told my son, I told some people on Wednesday night, I'm just going to bare my soul with you for a moment. I am crying out for revival. I am crying out for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit like we haven't seen in a generation. I am firmly convinced every generation needs an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think of days. We cut our history back and, you know, the outpouring of 1902 to 1906 as Azusa Street was great, but we cut our days in the truths of revival fellowship, not Latter-day Saints, but the latter rain outpouring, which was 48 revival, and then the 67, 68 charismatic revival, and the fruit would like jump off the tree. Here, save me. Lead me to your Savior. You know, I'm longing for that day. And I'll be honest enough to tell you how I'm wired. I would love to lead that revival. I just can be honest. But guess what? Even if I don't get to, I just pray to God I'm a part of it and see it and drink in it and dwell in it and love the Spirit of the Lord. I want to serve Him all my days and I long to see a fresh outpouring. So it doesn't matter. We share the successes. We share the burdens and we give God the glory. And One final point, and I don't want to end on a downer, but we must face this. In Judges 8, verses 22 through 32, Gideon asked the people for their gold earrings, and he made a golden ephod. They had asked him, because he helped them have victory, to take the rulership over them. He said, no. He said, let your sons take the rulership. Let the lineage take the rulership. He said, no, because the Lord wants to rule over you. Let the Lord rule in your life. But then he asked them for their golden earrings. That ephod became a thorn in the side of faith as the people worshipped it. And it was a tragedy that though there was peace in the life of Gideon's, in the time of Gideon's life, as soon as he was dead, the nation went right back into idolatry again. May I make one simple point among us who are getting younger by the day? Keep your victory to the end. It's not worth it to throw it over because it's so easy to make a choice that impacts a generation. How many want to walk with God to the very end of your days? Then that's the cry of our heart. Lord, help us walk with you all our days, and like Gideon, let's maximize on those great things. Help us live in such a way that the victory we walk in you is absolutely contagious. Now turn to each other, shake each other's hands and say, I've got contagious victory for you. Share it with me. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord in Gideon, the sword of the Lord, the truths, Lord, that have impacted Gideon's life and that we've learned from these last 6 weeks. Lord, help us walk in righteousness all our days, shining the light through these clay vessels that are broken, lifting up the torch, lifting up your scriptures, declaring lovingly the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, they all said.